What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is the Fightful Weekly Report podcast. We got your Q&A. We got a whole bunch of news. Lots of stuff this week. Dropped an early morning story. And if you know me, I am not a morning person. But by God, we had a big one on Friday morning. Miro has asked for his AEW release. This is one that I felt was coming for quite some time. They have not been on the same page whatsoever creatively, AEW or Miro. He had pitched earlier this year, possibly wrestling Jon Moxley. I know they had considered or even wanted him to do the casino gauntlet match. Neither one of those happened. He has not wrestled all year. Now, earlier this year, when they announced Meet Madness, they had hoped that he would be in it. They found out he was pretty behind on his injury recovery after AEW World's End, and it never ended up happening. However, he is healthy now, based on what I've heard. There was word that he was, like, quote, back from Bulgaria, but he goes back and forth between Bulgaria and the United States fairly often, from what I understand. But Miro is one of those guys that always had high upside in AEW, but whether it be for him not wanting to put people over or AEW not having the right creative for him, it never worked. It just never worked at that level consistently. He's worked 7 matches since the start of 2023. He's only worked 11 matches since the beginning of December 2021. That is a gross misuse of talent, regardless of if it's from himself or the company. Personally, if I were AEW, what I would do in this situation is very similar to what TNA did with Giselle Shaw. She asked for her release. They said, sure, if you come in and let Heather Reckless beat you, that's fine. Because otherwise, Miro leaves AEW having beaten Andrade and Daniel Garcia and Action Andretti and Powerhouse Hobbs, and then even Nick Comoroto, Anthony Henry, Tony Nese, and then winning All Out 2022 back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Like, I can't remember the last time he was pinned. Even when he lost to Bryan Danielson at Full Gear 2021, it was by referee's decision. I don't think he got pinned in the Forbidden Door match either. So I think you'd have to go all the way back to, like, September 2021 for you to be able to find out or find a situation where Miro got pinned. I would say, you know what? You put somebody over, we'll sever ties here. I think that's what they probably should have done with the Lucha Brothers as well, with anybody that asked for their release. Have them put somebody over on the way out. Wrap them up. Now, Miro had originally signed with AEW in September 2020, and he signed like a year and a half deal that wasn't for like an incredible amount of money. I did an interview with him, and he talked about it. He said, yeah, and I told Tony that the next contract would be big money, and it was. 7 figures, from my understanding. But he signed that new deal in spring of 2022, so he has until spring of 2026 on his current deal. Easy for me to say, but I would be like, you know what? Come put a guy over. There you go. Then take that money, give it to Daniel Garcia. Get that man re-signed. Speaking of contract news, Kevin Owens has been approached by WWE for a new contract. His deal is up towards the end of the year. It's been reported by, I think myself, PW Insider, Wrestling Observer, that WWE has approached a number of talent ahead of time about getting their deals done. This is a far cry from what we saw under Dan Ventrelli as head of talent relations, because some of those deals came pretty close, and some of them even like sort of peeved off talent in how far along they waited. Now, they ended up getting a ton of deals done. Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Natalya, Humberto, Angel, Cedric, Nikki Cross, a bunch of others. But Kevin Owens has been approached for a new contract. I don't know if any progress has been made or how those talks have went or anything like that. But what I do know is that AEW wants Kevin Owens. And if they get the opportunity to get Kevin Owens, they are going to make him a big offer. I mean, from what I understand, Tony Khan and AEW have wanted him for quite some time. And if given the opportunity, will do a lot to make sure that they land. Now, in interviews, Kevin Owens has seemed pretty happy with WWE. And obviously, man, he made the right decision re-signing with WWE. Like, all due respect to AEW, but man, like the way that Kevin Owens succeeded after signing that extension with WWE, he got Stone Cold Steve Austin out of retirement and main evented a WrestleMania. Then he main evented a WrestleMania with his best friend winning the tag team titles. And even this year has been in a top title program along the way. Like, that dude has won. He emerged victorious there. This year was in, you know, at least a marquee match with Logan Paul and Randy Orton on WrestleMania. But that guy did it. That guy did it. And he's done everything. There's not a lot he hasn't done, which, you know, is a general talking point of people as to, like, why would they stay, so to speak. But maybe the stuff that he was booked in gave him that confidence to stay. Now, granted, that was under a different regime, but that will be one worth monitoring. Another contract set to come up soon, and it is a very interesting one. Dustin Rhodes' deal is still set to expire either at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. Now, listen, are Dustin Rhodes' best days behind him? Well, in the ring, maybe. Maybe he's 55 years old. Creatively, well, I don't know about that. Right now, he is a double ROH champion, trios title, tag team title. I really like what they've done in that company with Dustin Rhodes. And I mean, he's one of my all-time favorite performers. Like, consistent, effective, still does all the same, not does all the same stuff he used to, does more stuff than what he used to. As Goldust in 96, he does more stuff. But there is a very, very big elephant in the room, and that's the fact that his brother is over in WWE at the top of the card in a family-related storyline. And it is very natural for anybody and everybody to speculate, man, I wonder how that would go if Dustin Rhodes was over there. Because what we know is that over 10 years ago, Cody and Dustin Rhodes did incredible work with The Shield. I mean, like, just immaculate work. If you go back, if they ever exist, and you can find the late shift with Stephen Bell that was on Lords of Pain, I would do some of his reviews back then, and or do reviews with him, and I just loved the Rhodes family and Shield stories and matches. I just thought they were killer, man. And of that era, they were some of my favorite matches that were going on in WWE. So it's very natural to wonder what's going to happen with The Natural. And selfishly, I look at it and I'm like, man, I would love to see him as a part of that story. Listen, would AEW miss him? I don't know. He's good to have around, but from a creative standpoint, I think there's a lot more value in WWE than there is in AEW for him. And that's not a slight on AEW. Just the way that it is. Speaking of famous families in wrestling, Charlotte Flair, she's been sidelined for all of 2024. And that is still the case. Now, last week, there had been reports emerging that there were creative plans involving Charlotte Flair moving forward, specifically involvement with Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton. However, as of then, WWE sources like confirmed to Fightful Select that she is not cleared yet. It was noted that those in WWE believe there will still be some time before she returns to the ring, as the injuries that she sustained were severe. Now, I mentioned this a lot in the Q&A section, but Charlotte tore her ACL, MCL, and meniscus in December of 2023. And as of the start of this year, WWE did not expect her to wrestle at all in 2024, but did say that if anybody was capable of beating that time frame, it would be somebody like Charlotte Flair. By February, she was saying that she was ahead of schedule, but also way ahead of putting a time on a return. And a WWE source claimed to Fightful that until she's clear, it's unlikely that creative will be put in place, because that is putting undue pressure and unfair pressure on her after that type of injury. We have some Mick Foley news. WWE has been signing a lot of talent to Legends deals. And I just want to make this clear. I don't know if they recently re-upped Mick Foley for a Legends deal. But the interview that he did regarding Vince McMahon saying, you know, I feel really bad that someone I care about got into something so unsavory that definitely did not play well with many people, got people within WWE to let me know that he is under a Legends deal and has re-signed one at some point. He has been advised to not continue his pursuit of a return, and I think he pretty well agreed that that wasn't going to work for him. But he also mentioned MJF had like creative laid out for him and all that stuff if they ever did anything. But he's rarely featured on WWE programming, but will still be included on like merchandise and stuff like that. But yeah, just one of those kinds of deals. But he is still technically working with WWE. And honestly, I'm pretty sure he's going to for quite some time, given his history there. Also, as confirmed on the Pat McAfee show, WWE sources did confirm to Fightful that Sheamus has re-signed. It is a multi-year deal in length. I encourage you guys to check out our interview with Paul White, our interview being Fid McAwesome's interview with from Down Under the Ring, who thankfully let us run that interview, which is wonderful of him. Great job that they did on that. That's a guy that I want to interview in the future as well. He said that he is not done wrestling. He delved into the Captain Insano stuff. He said that he hopes that Captain Insano can return to wrestling pending his recent knee surgery, but he is not done. And he said that Tony Khan gave him all the time that he needed to repair his body and prepare for a possible return and all that stuff. And is still out there doing media and still doing ROH stuff for them. Some additional notes. There were rumors reported by PW Insider that they've considered doing a stable with Deonna Purrazzo. I'm told they've also discussed a tag team as well. Kenny Omega is over in Japan visiting. There were also reports that Mercedes Moné gets her own dressing room in AEW, and it's cited that nobody on the men's side does. Mercedes does have her own locker room, but numerous people in the company have their own locker room. Jericho, Elite, Cody, Brandi Rhodes, Sting, they have all had their own locker rooms in the past. NXT talent, it's been common for them to get looks on Main Event after the TNA tapings that they worked. Sol Ruka was the latest to do it, and she had a really good showing on Main Event. Joe Tessitore got a lot of praise within WWE. WWE had been angling for those Butch chants as a part of his big turn. Drew McIntyre was not at the September 16th Raw, like actually was not there, wasn't like a story or anything. Bronson Reed, Braun Strowman was always scheduled for one segment. Obviously, the top rope breaking, that was just a spot. We have a bunch of World of Sport news. We have Riot Cabaret news and North Wrestling news as well from Corey Brennan. As always, you know, we're putting over Corey for all the incredible work that he has done on the European scene and all that stuff. Just next level, man. Like, nobody else is even touching him on scoops from that end of the world. So make sure you guys check that out. But he also had news from NXT saying CM Punk stayed after the show, spent 30 minutes taking pictures with fans. The segment with Roxanne and Julia went a little longer than planned. Terry Taylor, we don't get a lot of producer news out of NXT, but he produced Dion Lennox versus Brooks Jensen. And there was an error in the broadcast as the commercial break during Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley versus Rosemary and Wendy Chu was planned to be a picture-in-picture. Some other news that we haven't got a ton of in the past and we were able to get was writer news for some of the promos on Raw. Alexandra Williams did CM Punk's promo. I think it's Brian Parisi did Jey Uso's promo, and then Christian Scovel did Sami Zayn's promo. AEW and WBD, big deals on the horizon for them. Puck and their reporter John Orend reported that AEW's new media deal with WBD looks like it will be a four-year deal, which is 3 years guaranteed with 1 year option, and $170 million per year is apparently in the ballpark. I personally wouldn't be surprised if it exceeds that. I feel like if it was less than that, AEW probably would have gotten ahead of it and sent word to somebody. So I wouldn't doubt that that is right on the money, or maybe even they do more. But he says that AEW will air on TNT, TBS, and True TV twice per week as a part of a strategy to make True TV more sports-oriented. Now, AEW is still pitching an additional package to broadcast networks. Now, Fightful had reported recently that Fox was in the fold for AEW. I don't know to which capacity. Now, we expanded on this greatly on The Hump last week, so I'll refer you guys to that as that show is out there. But $200 million a year was the large benchmark, because $200 million a year times five, which is what usually wrestling deals are on, five-year deals, would have been $1 billion total, which is where that one Bill Phil talking point came from with CM Punk. Now, if the information we have is accurate, and that $170 million or more number does not include what they're negotiating for pay-per-views, AEW will get that $200 million a year. Now, I don't know what their pay-per-view splits are right now. It used to be about half, but nowadays there are pay-per-view platforms everywhere, and ones will likely offer you a little bit more of a generous split. But Fightful reported earlier this summer that AEW had already been offered at least double over their previous deal. Now, the thing is, we don't know specifically what their old deal was or current deal is, because they are not a publicly traded company and they don't have to disclose that. But I'm told it was at least double what they were making on that deal. There's a lot of question marks over, well, does that include a lot more than the previous deal? Well, by the looks of it, it might not. Because Shockwave is a thing that's happening. It looks like it's a show. And it looks like Rampage might not be on WBD moving forward, because there have been materials prepared for 2025 that include Dynamite and Collision, but there isn't as much of a mention, or there isn't a mention of Rampage. Now, that doesn't mean it's necessarily dead or anything like that. It's a wait-and-see situation. There's a lot of moving parts here, but WBD has already prepared materials to announce their slate of programming for 2025. I've not heard of talks regarding ROH, but that's not to say those conversations haven't happened. I don't know about co-streaming, so to speak, like on Max, what necessarily the pay-per-view deal will be yet, what will happen with ROH. There's a lot of stuff moving around, but man, big deal for AEW. Big things also coming for NXT. It looks like another show of theirs will be on the road. Now, we have confirmed that there are additional Performance Center tapings that are going to continue to happen. However, it looks like the November 5th show that was going to be at the Performance Center has been canceled. Corey Brennan said that he spoke to NXT sources, said there could be varying factors as to why the taping was canceled, but they could end up doing a double taping the prior week due to the Saudi Arabia trip and all that stuff. They could go on the road. There's a lot of different possibilities there, but there was word that Level Up would be ending. At least sources that speak to Corey Brennan claim that Level Up is going to continue, and they've stacked matches for future Level Up episodes, and none of the sources that he specifically talked to would say that Level Up was coming to an end. The Outrunners, man, they have taken AEW by storm. Their promo videos have done just incredible traffic. They're getting buzz. They're popular. They're over. And it would appear that they are signed. Now, I did actually reach out to the Outrunners, and they did not give me anything resembling an actual answer. In fact, they said, quote, "I can neither confirm nor deny that we are old enough slash too young to sign or not sign." But AEW sources confirmed to Fightful that not only were they very happy with the reactions that the Outrunners were getting and the performances and however they are, all that, but they are under some sort of contract with AEW. Now, I don't know the extent or the details of that contract, but They are under a deal there. Good to see. I mean, they've done a lot of work here in Kentucky in OVW, so that makes me very happy to see a couple guys like that doing well. And the gimmick is just so fun. As we wrap up the news portion of this show, we're told that the Lucha Brothers are not officially signed to WWE as of yet. There were some reports emerging this week that they had signed multi-year deals. WWE sources reached out and told us that wasn't correct. Now, I saw some people say, Well, of course they would deny it. It's a PR move, et cetera, et cetera. These are people within the company that do not have an incentive to lie. Like, they're not trying to protect kayfabe or anything like that. And PR, when I have asked them on a number of occasions, have never commented on Penta and Phoenix. In fact, one WWE source, again, this is not in an official capacity or NPR, said that they believe that Rey Fénix is still under AEW contract, and they don't think that the transition will be as smooth as expected. But I'm sure that they'll end up in WWE. Penta had told people in the summer that he had contact with WWE, which probably contributed to the delay that we see now. But as of this weekend, the two had not been signed to WWE contracts. Let's get into the Q&A portion of this show. A reminder, if you don't get your question answered, it doesn't mean that it's a wasted question. I use this to determine what I'm going to ask about. I want to know what you guys want answers to. And how about this one? One of the most asked things last week, I'll have an answer for hopefully this week on Fightful Select in the form of an injury report update. Were WWE management happy with Bret Hart's appearance on Raw? Are we likely to see more collaboration with Bret and WWE moving forward? Yeah, I think that everything went smoothly, especially considering the circumstances. He was under the weather throughout the entire day, and it was up in the air whether or not he would actually be able to appear. And then shortly before the show, it was pretty well set that he would. But they didn't expect like a ton out of him. In Calgary, it's you want Bret to show up and wave. Probably not get involved in a lot of physicality or anything like that. If John Cena is wrestling until December of next year, do you think they'll do a special PLE for his last match in December, or will he just do it on Raw or SmackDown? I think they will make it as big as humanly possible. Do you know when Tegan Nox's contract is up? If we have information on that, it is under our resources section at Fightful.com. I know that it isn't something that we heavily promote, but you go to Fightful.com, you go to the wrestling tab, and there's resources underneath that. And any contract updates that we have are under that. Know of any returns or surprises for Grand Slam? I don't. I mean, I know there's some more talent that is set to come into AEW or to arrive in AEW, but I haven't heard of any particular surprises for Grand Slam. I think they're going to sort of let that show represent itself in that way. I live in Florida and noticed that NXT has significantly cut back on their Coconut Loop house shows with only a couple of shows scheduled for the rest of the year. Have you heard anything about these being axed by TKO? Yes, live events as a whole are being scaled back within WWE. Like, they're not exactly big money makers. This is mainly for experience for NXT talent, getting in front of different live crowds. With them going on the road, that's going to be able to take care of itself a little bit more than it had previously. After Papa Shango resurrects Drew and Punk after literally murdering each other at Hell in a Cell, what's the next stip match? I quit, buried alive, bracket on a pole match. Feels like this will go on until Mania 2028. Well, I do think that Drew, Seth, and Punk in a triple threat is something that should still be on the table and is something they could do at WrestleMania if they needed to. Or they could just move on to a new feud. It feels like a whole lot of the WWE feuds don't just have one match, which is okay. But there are a lot of people that think that a feud, by definition, is more than one match. You don't have to have more than one match. You can, if the situation and the reception calls for it. This one certainly did. When promotions change venues like WWE did in St. Louis due to low ticket sales, do they have to pay a cancellation fee to the original venue they were going to use? Yes, if that's drawn up in the agreement. There are some agreements that are made that have protections for companies in the event of that, but then there are other ones that don't, and they end up having to pay a fee in order to get out of that. I don't know what the specific situation was with St. Louis, but it all depends on the agreement. Do you think we see Lucha Bros on WWE TV before the end of the year? That is a tough one. A couple of weeks ago, I probably would have said yes. Now I would lean towards no. I'd lean towards no. Alex Mahoney says, any plans of a Select subscriber meetup at Grand Slam? Excited for the show this Wednesday. It's my fourth straight year to attending. Hope to bump into you at the stadium. Well, if you see me, absolutely say hi. My flight arrives about 2 hours before doors open, or not doors, the actual show starts. So I feel like, one, okay, my flight lands then. I'd have to get to the hotel, check in, make sure that I get, you know, over there to the venue. I don't want to set up a meetup and then risk a flight delay and then me not showing up. What's going on with Jimmy Uso? I can't speak to that personally. All I can say is that talent have reached out to him and he said that he's okay. So outside of that, there's not really a lot that I can provide. And yeah, that's all I know. Talent said that they spoke to him and he said he was fine. Who in WWE production clearly misses Lucha Underground more every day? I mean, the person who did Lucha Underground was a former WWE writer. But that show resonated with an awful lot of people that wanted more of that cinematic approach to pro wrestling. And the segment that aired from Georgia Tech, like, I love the presentation. Dialogue, a little corny, a little soap opera-ish, but like, come on, more people liked it than didn't, so I see no problem with it. It got people talking. It got, like, RG3 tweeting about it. So, I mean, I think that it was, the plan was executed very well there. Could you see Dark Order become relevant again after the Uno Darby match? I don't think imminent plans are for that to occur, but I think that the Dark Order should be utilized in a more constructive method, considering their history, considering how important they have been to AEW at any number of times throughout the company's history. I think that Dark Order is a group that, at least in the trios division or the tag division, should be utilized more. Given how things are between AEW and AAA, will we ever see Vikingo again in AEW once he's healed up? Well, Tony really likes Vikingo, like, as a performer. So I feel like if there are any, if there's any room for that to happen, he'll probably make it happen. I know the usual contract statuses people ask about, but I've got one people seem to have forgotten about. Any news on Wardlow? He seems to be off socials now. Thanks for all you do. He was at the Jags game recently. I don't know why he's not being utilized on television, but I think it was pretty clear from the jump that the Undisputed Kingdom thing wasn't going to be a fit for him. But I think they should put a bow on that. That's something that AEW, I feel like, has to do better. When somebody just vanishes or something gets dropped, they need to close the logic gap in that. They've got to make it make sense a lot better than they actually do. With Saturday night's main event returning, are you worried it will be another version of AEW Battle of the Belts where nothing major happens? Yes, but what WWE does very well is, at least on the first edition back, and this goes like all their shows that they do, they make something important happen on the first editions of a whole lot of things. And I think that that's a great way to introduce it. But yeah, like the Battle of the Belts, I don't even have a sense of urgency of watching those. No sense of urgency at all. Where would Miro go if given his release? Seems like this isn't about money. Hard to beat seven figures. Leads me to believe he wants to go else somewhere where he fits better into the world title picture. It's hard to predict what Miro wants specifically, because he's getting paid exceptionally well. He was booked in, booked to win usually, but he always definitely is worried about, what the creative will be for him, how it benefits him, and a lot of things like that. Within the context of what he's scheduled to do. And they have not been on the same page for quite some time. I would imagine WWE would probably want him back, but I know that there would not be as much give and take on creative. I mean, there's not a lot of give and take on creative now because he's not on TV. He's wrestled like a dozen or two dozen times since late 2021. But in WWE, you pretty well just do what you're scheduled to do, or they'll probably just send you home, which is what AEW did as well. It's just in WWE, you don't have as many people telling you or as many people telling you no as you seem to have in AEW. SRS, what are the chances WWE contacted Miro before he asked for his release? I haven't heard anything like that at all. I haven't heard that they've reached out to him or anything of that capacity. Do you have any update on Zilla Fatu? Is he signed with WWE? No, he is not signed with WWE. From GCW's part, they believe they had agreed on a rate with him. And before the show last week, they said that he had approached them and wanted GCW to speak with his management team about his future booking and rates, and they couldn't come to terms, and Zilla didn't end up working the show, and they had been in contact following that. But yeah, that's what it came down to. It wasn't a WWE has signed him and pulled him from the show type of thing. It just wasn't the way that it worked out. Do you think Collision will move off Saturdays in the new TV deal because the viewership numbers prove weekly that a Saturday night show isn't feasible? I agree. I honestly think probably a 6:05 show might be more feasible. But I hope so. I hope they move on to Thursdays for just general interest, for the sake of booking, for our viewership, for the post show. People giving a damn, you know what I mean? Like, hopefully. Any talks of doing another AEW console game with a new rights deal with WBD as they have WBD games? Well, I mean, that does one doesn't have anything to do with the other, but AEW does, they have retained the rights to the engine, and I know that they wanted that game to be a much bigger hit and much bigger than it ended up being, and that's a bummer, but they do retain the rights to the engine, so it's possible. With NXT and NWA being on the same network and NWA only on the streaming service, could you see NWA and NXT having a partnership? I could. So to be clear, TNA and WWE don't have a quote-unquote partnership. They have a talent exchange. That's what both companies claim. I do not see that happening with NWA because as things stand right now, if WWE wants a TNA talent, they're going to get them when their deal is up. With NWA, I think that's even doubly so. Any update on Raquel Rodriguez? Would like to be able to send messages or whatever would be considered appropriate ways to show support. So she had her condition, and it's a touch and go thing all the time. With that, it kind of pops up, flares up, and they thought she was past it around the Elimination Chamber, and then when she made the travel over there, it flared up again. She's so well-liked in that company, but it's just something that she unfortunately has to deal with on a very regular basis, and it's very unpredictable. For WWE 2K25, is it possible for TNA talents to be included in the game through the agreement WWE would have for TNA, or they have to sign a separate deal? They have to sign a separate deal because they don't have like a merchandising deal or anything like that with WWE, but anything is possible there. Why did Britt mysteriously disappear after All In, and he believes she deserves all this unnecessary hate she gets? You're never going to find me saying that somebody deserves hate. That's I know that you probably weren't trying to pose it like that, but the match wasn't good to a lot of people. I didn't think the match at All In was nearly as bad as everybody claimed it was, or they thought it was. I don't want to say claimed. They thought it was. Was it good? No. Was it as bad as everybody said it was? I really didn't think so. Listen, I've known Britt for a long time, since before she was in AEW. And what I'll say about Britt Baker is, if a lot of people knew the type of things that she had been through, and I mean even more than the stroke that she experienced, they would understand why she has her guard up. This comes from a person who perpetually has his guard up. Sean, now that the SummerSlam show has been split up into two nights, do you think they'll do that with Royal Rumble as well? I do think they'll eventually do that with Royal Rumble, yeah. Now, I've not been given any information to indicate that that's what they are going to do, but, I mean, it's ready-made for that, right? Like, you have two Royal Rumble matches, and each is an hour long. You could easily run a show each night that is 4 or 5 matches, and you got like what, 7-8 total a Royal Rumble match each night. They had four matches on Royal Rumble this year. Okay, take that women's Royal Rumble match, put it on Saturday, put the men's on Sunday, or whichever one. Add a match, and you're still going to have, you know, a three-hour show there. I absolutely think that that could happen, and I think eventually it will. I think eventually they'll try it. Which current AEW wrestlers who haven't already won the title do you see as future world champions, men's and women's divisions? If he comes back, Ricky Starks, Takeshita, Okada, Darby Allin, Will Ospreay. I know that Ospreay and Okada might not count because they've won world titles elsewhere, but those are probably five that I look at on the men's side. Adam Cole, wouldn't doubt a Christian Cage run, but I think that you might have met people who haven't won world titles elsewhere. On the women's side of things, probably Willow Nightingale at some point. She is somebody that AEW has leaned on an awful lot. If Queen Aminata can emerge from a promo perspective, I think that she's one. Marina Shafir, the way that she's booked right now, is looking awfully promising. If you want me to include people that have won world championships elsewhere, Camille, Britt Baker are a couple of them. Obviously, Chris Statlander as well. That's always the excitement, right? Like somebody winning their first world championship. And AEW has a lot of people who have competed on that world championship level elsewhere that haven't won championships in AEW yet. But I think what will benefit AEW is cultivating their own young talent and then booking them in a place where they feel like that's within reach. Like Ricky Starks and, by the way, Daniel Garcia, another one if he stays, absolutely. They should feel like they have a path to that world championship. SRS, do you believe the Miro AEW relationship can be salvaged or is it too damaged to be fixed? They were in contact this year. I don't know if he's been granted his release or anything like that, but they've still got at least a year and a half left on that deal. And with injury time, it could be way, way longer. So there's plenty of time to salvage it if needed. Wanted to ask a follow-up to a post you had about Mercedes Moné in the locker room situation. A wrestler's upset that she has her own locker room and she just got to the company. No, I've not heard one person complain that she has her own locker room. Do you know any reason why Cade and Katana were suddenly removed from TV when they were paired with Lyra? I believe there was an injury there. Are they going to debut a new theme in Tron for Live at Bad Blood? I haven't heard of it. It's not to say that they're not. I just haven't heard of it. Hi, Sean. What will it take for Tony Khan to start booking smaller venues? I know that a few of the reasons why Tony Khan books bigger venues are amenities, mailing lists, and the like, because you can also come to agreements with those venues and stuff that are more long-term. There's a variety of reasons. Comfortability for your talent, the use of locker rooms and parking and stuff like that. There's a lot of different reasons why he runs bigger venues and will just, close them off. Bands do this a lot too. Like I've been to Breaking Benjamin concerts where they run very nice venues and they half the venue. And that's common in music. When can we expect AEW to be available on Max? I would expect by January is what I would think, but I don't have any concrete information on that. Sean, what do you think the odds of New Day going to AEW are, considering they still heavily want the Elite match? Less than 25%. Less than 25%, I think. But I mean, anything's possible. Hello, Sean. Do you know why Britt Baker hasn't been on any AEW programming? Well, she is. She's going to be back in a couple weeks. The follow-up from that all-in match, it was probably best to give her another slight break. But, now they're bringing her back. They're factoring her in. They feel like that's the best move. But yeah, it was a little break to kind of regroup and figure out what's going on. Sean, is there anything to the Iconics shutting down their merch store, hoping they're coming back to WWE. So I asked and I was told they have new merch coming out, or no new merch coming out right now, and it costs money to operate. There's no smoke, no fire. Can you elaborate on what one source meant when they said that the transition from Phoenix from AEW to WWE wouldn't be as smooth? Is Tony Khan considering adding injury time, or is it something else? That's what was implied by the person in WWE that I spoke to. They believe that time will be added, or that there will be a hurdle in the way, and understandably so from both sides. Like, even the person that I spoke to was like, yeah, I get it, considering the way that it all unfolded. I know it was reported that people expected Daniel Garcia to stay in AEW. So let me clarify that. One top talent said that they thought Daniel Garcia would stay in AEW. I don't think Garcia was too happy with that element of the report emerging, and I don't blame him. Like, that could affect his leverage. But since speaking to people, it doesn't matter what that talent thought. I mean, that person knew I would have to include that in the report. There's no way I could get feedback from a talent at that level and not include it in the report to that degree. But it doesn't matter, because it's not the case. It has no weight towards his decision or what has happened up until this point. I started wrestling school about 2 weeks ago. Any advice for me? I'll tell you, the thing that was most valuable for me in wrestling school was the fact that I had experience in grappling, amateur wrestling, catch wrestling, kickboxing. Legitimate backgrounds like that made the transition so much easier for me. Had I went to wrestling school and done those back bumps without having done break falls, side falls, front bumps, three-quarter shoulder rolls, all that stuff, learning how to pin people from a shoot perspective, learning how and why submissions work, especially in catch wrestling. But that would have been a much, much tougher transition for me. And like, I don't know that without having that foundation that it would have been as smooth. Like, I don't think that I've had like a particularly terrible botch or anything in any of my matches, but the fact that I went to learn those things and had that foundation instilled in me already was very helpful. Now, I mean, if you've already started wrestling school, they're going to hammer that in. But if anything, like, just watch seminars, watch catch wrestling seminars, especially learn how and why the submissions work from catch wrestling that have evolved and translated into pro wrestling or show wrestling in the decades or century that has followed. Does AEW intend to do 12 pay-per-view events in 2025? I can't say that they intend to do that, but it certainly looks like that's the direction they're headed. How long was AEW planning this push for the Outrunners, or was it more spontaneous? It was quite spontaneous, but they've been very happy with the reception and the reaction that they've gotten. Do you believe we'll see Mark Davis on AEW TV this year? Yeah, I think so. Any more feelings on how TNA and WWE are feeling about the NXT-TNA relationship so far? Again, I should specify both sides call this a talent exchange more than a partnership. Have you heard anything more on Kenny's recovery? Yeah, I mean, he's in good shape, but it's important for him to be in ring shape. And I mean, very important to that man to be in ring shape. I think we're still a ways off. With the WWE TV rights in place for WWE, what will happen to the network on Peacock, specifically the older content? Well, I have mentioned this a number of times. WWE is brilliant with their rights fees. They are now on cable TV, streaming on Netflix, streaming on Peacock, and network TV, in addition to having a social media show. When the WWE Network started, they had their library, they had their individual documentaries, they had NXT, and they had their PLEs, all for $10 on the WWE Network. What they have done since then was license out their library and PLEs to Peacock. They've licensed out NXT to a variety of different places over the last however long. They've licensed out the production of their documentaries to A&E, to where WWE doesn't even have to pay to produce them anymore. They just provide the materials, and A&E produces them now. It's very smart the way that they have allowed that to happen. So I wouldn't doubt that WWE, again, licenses out that library or whatever that may be to somebody for a good amount of money. Is the plan for the AEW TV deal to announce it the day of the Dynamite 5th anniversary? I don't know when they are announcing it, just to be clear. Any Megan Bain contract updates? No, she had had contact with Rocky Romero like a couple months ago or a few months ago, but I haven't heard of any updates since then. What do you think of the new NFL kickoff procedure? I love it. Anything that puts more play in games, I'm a fan of. And kickoffs were almost a foregone conclusion for a while. I mean, I don't like that there aren't surprise onsides, but if that comes at the expense of having more play during a game, I'm all for it. Adam Cole update. He was set to regain training or resume training a couple weeks ago. Could you see any other major WWE stars jumping to AEW in the near future? How is the 2025 class shaping up? Most of the 2025 class will be talent who re-signed with AEW in like 2021 or so. And then there will be people who had injury time added to their WWE deals. It's not nearly as robust as this year. Am I the only one tired of the IWC's usage of cinema? I mean, to each its own, you know what I mean? Where's Shinsuke Nakamura? He is healthy. He is fine. He was working WWE's overseas tours, but just not being used at the moment. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining me. I hope you guys really do like this new format. And also, I've got the select answers feature that has been dropping. You guys really showed out for that. And I want to say thank you because I'm always trying to look at what I can do to give you guys more for your subscription. We haven't increased subscriber prices since we started 6.5 years ago. Jimmy's angled for it. I'm doing my best, though, and I want to give you guys as much as humanly possible for that $5. So I just want to say thank you all so much. If you don't mind, tell the people you love FightfulSelect.com. It goes so long when you guys do that. But thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.